So, you know, I just want to let you know that I put on Facebook, so I'm expecting a lot of calls tonight.
Not too many, Johnny. We got, you know, some things to cover here.
Yeah,
tonight.
We do. We always get it on.
Okay, all right.
If you're out there listening, it's www.coaradio.com. And if you want to call in, it's 609-241-7103. Callers are welcome. If you want to ask our guest any questions, if you want to comment or whatever, and you got the numbers. We do this for City of Angels, which is a great organization.
Yes, it is.
It's all volunteer work. They do a lot of stuff for addicts, get them in treatment, help out, do family sessions, trainings, whatever. And to find out more about what they do or we do, you could go on www.cityofangelsnj.org.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready for a show.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Happy New Year, my friends.
You know, you want to start it off, man? Tell us where you've been, where you came from, what you're doing, what happened in your life. I mean, I know that's a wide question, but...
How long is this?
What do we have, Danny? 57 minutes left?
57.
Okay.
Danny's here, too, by the way. I excluded him. I'm sorry, Nan. Danny's our engineer, and he's doing a great job since we started. And, you know, all of us do the best we can. And I get excited around 5:30 every Monday, 5:30 p.m. I can't wait to get out of the office and get here.
Yeah, so. I hear you.
So it's fun. So, Coop, you got the microphone, my friend.
Oh, where do I begin? I mean, I'm usually not at a loss. I'm usually not at a loss for words, but now it's, you know, not coming. Basically, you know, my whole life was unmanageable. It was surrounded by drugs, finding, using ways and means to get more. People ask me what my drug of choice was, and I always answer by more.
I like that.
You know, I was a garbage can. But the bottom line is, enough about the story. What my end was 40 years old, homeless, basically no direction, nowhere to go, with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. You know, my brother came over and rescued us, basically from the streets, and I remember walking in my brother's backyard and looking up in the sky and just started crying. Along the way, and I'm going to be all over the place because there's so much and so many things running through my mind that, you know, it's hard to squash it all into, you know, the time that we have. But anyway, basically, before my brother came and rescued us from the streets, you know, I had run into a guy on the streets while I was using. And, you know, I kept going to him and asking him for help. And he gave me the number to a funding agency that would put me into detox. And, you know, for I say God now, but for some reason I kept running into this guy. And for, you know, some odd reason, I just kept giving him excuses why I couldn't. And finally, one day, he turned around to me, and he called me a liar. And I couldn't understand at that time what he meant by me being a liar. But in retrospect, you know, he had told the same stories that I had told. Fast forward, out in that yard, crying, looking up to God, looking at my brother's house, thinking, what do I do from here? Do I start robbing my brother? You know what I mean? And I don't know. Again, I give the credit to God. I went in, looked in an old pair of work pants, and there was the number to that agency. And I called that number, and a woman answered the phone, and she said to me, report to Kensington Detox.
Wow.
And
it's a different reason going to Kensington, huh?
You know what I mean? I was born and raised in Kensington. I felt at home. For whatever reason, I called that number. That woman told me to show up at Kensington Detox at 3 o'clock. For the first time in my life, I was full of nothing but fear of the unknown. For whatever reason, I had to come clean with, well, I know the reason. I had to come clean with my family, basically, because I needed their help at that time. I had a 3- and a 5-year-old. And everyone came to my aid, and I remember walking upstairs to get a ride to Kensington Detox and saying to my father, Dad, I need to get a ride to the hospital. And he said, why? And my 128-pound frame with the veins and bones sticking out of my neck said, look at me. I need help.
Hmm.
You know, and, you know, again, I broke down. But everybody came. It's hard for me to tell my story because my mind runs so many times because there's so many things to be grateful for. But anyway, I show up at Kensington Detox, and I remember sitting out in that car, and my father saying to me, you know, you want me to go in with you? And I said, you know, no more untrue statement do I know now. I said, I got into this myself. I'll get out of it myself. And I went into that hospital, and they took me down in the basement to take blood. And I was like, man, where am I? And anyway, I went up
in that basement.
They put me up to the second floor. It's a pretty scary basement. They took me up to the second floor, and they opened up the doors, and, you know, there I was. And didn't know. All I knew is I couldn't live the way that I lived before. I couldn't live that way anymore. I didn't want to live that way anymore, but I knew nothing. And there were meetings that came into that facility. And I remember a guy, before I got out, he came up to me after a meeting, and he said, kid, and I looked at him, and he's like, when you get out of here? I said, Sunday. He said, here's my number. And I said, yeah. You know, I took his number unwillingly, not knowing who he was, what he was. But anyway, for some reason, again, I say, God, I called that number that Sunday morning when I was supposed to be discharged. This individual came, sat outside Kensington Detox, and waited 2 hours for them to medically discharge me. Hmm. That individual took me to a meeting. You know, I put my hand up in that meeting. They said, welcome. And I just broke down crying.
Right.
You know, crying. It was nothing but utter destruction and devastation that I had done up to that point in my life. And the meeting was over, and he drove me over to my brother's house in Jersey and came back that night again and took me to another meeting. Two in one day.
Wow.
And
that's a miracle.
You know, it was strange. It was strange because he wouldn't take nothing from my brother. He wouldn't take gas money, wouldn't take toll money, wouldn't take nothing. I thought something was strange about this guy because I just couldn't understand, because in my life...
Got a caller coming in. Excuse me, Coop. COA Radio, you're on the air. Hello?
Who am I speaking to?
Oh, my God. This is John.
Is Harry there? Do you have a fellow named Harry that's on there?
Yeah, he's one of our guests.
Yeah,
hey, hello,
he's here.
Harry.
Hello.
Did you have a question, hon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this Harry?
No, this is Harry. Hello?
How many Harrys are there?
Just one.
Who's this?
This is your secret admirer.
Thank you for calling.
Sorry about that, Coop. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know.
Overshadowed by Harry.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that miracle that happened. I mean, realizing the need to go to a couple meetings.
Yeah, well, you know, it all, you know, for the longest time, I never seen this guy after he dropped me off that second meeting. But what he did was he introduced me to a program that basically began the process of my healing. You know, for that I'm truly grateful, and that's what taught me to do for others what was done for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, it was a rough road.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because when they kicked me to the curb with that 5 milligrams on that Sunday, you know, the real fight began the next day. You know what I mean? Yep. I struggled with the trials and tribulations of basically detoxing on my brother's couch. You know, and I remember when my sister came down one day to relieve my brother from, you know, because I was completely out of my mind. You know, I thought that they were insane when they told me, you know, you don't sleep for 25, 30 days and out of my 34th day of complete insanity. You know, I remember being up in my sister's basement at about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, totally overwhelmed with anxiety. You know, to where my chest felt, my heart felt like it was coming out of my chest. And I remember nothing could make me feel content at that time.
Right.
And I remember breaking down and crying and going over my two kids, one on each in each arm, you know, pulling them out of that sleeping bag and pulling them close to my chest and crying to God, just give me one moment of sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't never, you know, I don't know what I would never. All I knew that I was completely completely insane. But through this whole process, I was still going to meetings. I went to meetings. I never stopped going to meetings. I needed something to hold on to. I needed to be able to deal with people who related, who have experienced what I was experiencing, who have gotten through to the other side. It was really important for me. I didn't complicate things. All I knew is that I needed help. And I knew at that point, I knew nothing about how to live without the use. You know, and it was a process, and it's been a process. You know, and it continues to be a process. And I don't never want to let go of that process, because I am so blessed of where I've gotten to today and the people that God has put in my life along the way to get me to where I am. Today I pray to God for different things. I pray to God for humility. I pray to God to never let me forget where I've come from and where I can return to. We spend so much time and effort staying clean, and I'm at the realization in my life at this time that I'm only one bad decision away from returning to that.
That's right.
You know, I don't know. I get overwhelmed when I think about it. You know, I basically where I'm at now is that I get paid to do what I love to do. You know what I mean? I've traveled that path, and where I'm at right now is a place that I wouldn't trade for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say I pray for humility, and I say this prayer on my way to work every day because I deal in the business of recovery, basically, and I pray every day for God not to allow what's going on in my personal life to affect the decision that I may have to make during the course of the day that could help or hurt another individual's life.
Wow.
You know,
thinking of another individual, that's pretty nice, don't you think so, John?
That's a miracle.
You know,
for me to think about another individual ahead of myself, as self-centered as we could be.
Well, you know, and a lot of times, you know, my biggest defect of character is regression. You know, to where I'll sit around and look at what I do and segregate myself away from those that I help. And sometimes I'm asking God, well, you know, well, when's it my time? When's it my time? But God always puts something in my way to smack me across the face and show me that I'm living my time. And if this is as good as it gets, wow. You know, this is pretty good.
I hear you.
You know, I can't allow that regression to affect the decisions that I make pertaining to other people's lives. I just can't do it. Harry, you're awful quiet.
What do you think?
Say something, Harry.
What do you think about?
Let's give John a break for a minute. What do you think? You have a question for Harry, Johnny?
I do. I want to know what...
Besides the secret admirer?
Yeah, well, we're not going to go there.
I don't know. It was my wife.
That's not recovery, Harry.
Harry paid that person to call in.
You know, I mean, like in a short sense, I mean, that, you know, our relationship, I met you in a facility and, you know, you came from different places that I did, but yet we still connected because we both share the same disease. And I guess what it's important for people to know is how that happened. You know, I mean, that, you know, a little bit where you came from and, you know, where you're at today pretty much would be a really good thing.
Well, I'm the oldest in the bunch here, and sometimes I worry if I waited too long to get this thing because of the age I am and the things I did in my life. I make jokes out of my... You know, I started using drugs in 1961. John F. Kennedy was in the White House. And I say that as a joking matter.
You know, I know you do.
Because some of the young people that are around don't realize how long 51 years of using narcotics is, you know, how serious it is. And I was saved on many occasions by the penitentiary. Penitentiary saved my life, you know.
Okay.
I know that sounds stupid, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived a horrible, I didn't care about anybody but myself. And to let my story out a little, when I was 9 years old, my mother passed away. Actually, the woman who I thought was my mother. And 2 weeks after her death, I found out that my parents were not, in fact, my parents. And I believe on that day, without picking up a drug, that my whole life changed. My way of thinking, my trust for people, changed that day.
Sure.
Rather than deal with it, my father was an old-time Italian guy, and he sent me off to military school. So my story goes institutions, jails, death. Because I lived in Bristol, Virginia for 2 years, going to military school. And when I was a kid, I excelled in school and in sports. And I possibly could have played professional baseball. But when I came home, he was remarrying.
Mm-hmm.
I say my stepmother, but she actually wasn't my stepmother. She was just a woman to me. And from day one, we didn't get along. And as we moved from, I lived in Delaware County, we moved to South Philadelphia, and I took to the streets. I couldn't stand being home. I felt like I was in prison in home.
Wow.
At the age of 11. If I went to eat dinner at the table, her and her sister would leave the table until I was done eating. And that hurt my father. I could see it. So rather than hurt my father, I'd sit in the living room and wait for them to finish eating. And then my father would call me in and I'd eat by myself. So rather than to go home for dinner then, I just took to the streets. And, you know, I started using, I mean, they're not even around anymore. You know, barbiturates. Then I graduated and that's when my life went to hell. I went to the penitentiary at a ripe young age of 17. You know, it was Camp Hill, a lot of people not. It was White Hill Industrial School for boys. And you really had to be bad to get there back then. So evidently I was bad. And I wound up doing 6 years. And, you know, when I was 24, my father passed away. I know it's confusing. He wasn't my father. I don't know my biological parents. And not that I've ever tried to find him. Like, but that is what haunted me all my life. Mm. I always blame that. That's why I became the person I am, because my parents gave me away the day I was born.
Have you overcome that, Harry?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, you know, I still think about it. Mm-hmm. Think about sometimes finding who my parents, but they're probably like, I'm 63 years old. So for them to be alive, they had to be at least in their 70s. And I believe my mother was like a juvenile, like maybe 15 years old or something. So she may still be alive, maybe 78 or whatever, but I've never found my parents. I've never looked for them. And, you know, I've never been in recovery. This is the first time.
But you are now, Harry.
I'm now.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my first time, and I'm coming up on 20 months clean.
Congratulations.
So. My man.
Yep.
And, you know, I met a lot of nice people. I mean, John Cooper is somebody that I really... Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
But he's a guy that I admire, and he does look out for me, and I appreciate that so much. I mean, I told him one day how much I loved him, and he said, did you find out you're terminally ill?
Well, I mean, humor and recovery is pretty important. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know?
Absolutely.
None of us have had an easy road.
He is a really nice guy and does care about a lot of people. I've seen him so stressful so many times, you know, but he does his job, you know, and I admire that. As for me, you know, my life is not anywhere near where I'd like it to be, but I do, I'm around recovering people every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what's keeping me the way I am. You know, I don't know. I'm a very lucky guy. I know that God's been in my life all my life. I've always believed in God. I mean, I've been shot 7 times. I was shot 3 times in the head, and I'm still here to tell my story. I say to my sponsor one day, why did, you know, there was a young girl about a year ago that passed away, 16 years old, and I went back to college, believe it or not. I didn't go to school when I was supposed to go to school, but I went back. I went to college, and I called my sponsor and I said, "Why her and not me?" And he said, "Because God's got a plan for you." And, you know, I don't know what it is, but I know he must have some reason for keeping me alive, because I was a dirty, no good guy. I just was.
This is the reason, Harry, carrying a message to people that you never even met, man, over the air.
Well, no,
we don't know who's listening. Secret admirer. You know, sharing your life with some people here and just letting them know that it can happen, because and Coop, you'll probably agree with this. I mean, you know, if you were like me, when we came here, we didn't think it was possible. You know, what did Coop say to me? Roll up the sleeves, Kenny. The fight is on. That's what he said to me. And you know what I did? I rolled up my sleeves and I started the fight. But you know what? It gave me a spark of hope. You know, nobody said anything like that to me that woke me up. You know what I mean? Because, you know, drugs and alcohol deadened me my whole life.
You know, and the rewards, Kenny, is like seeing an individual come in broken and watch them grow. You know, it's all the rewards in the world for me. And, you know, I talk to you all the time, Harry, you know, and it's about finding that niche in your life of you know, what makes you feel good about you. And what I found that makes me feel good about me is the ability to be able to put my hand out to another individual to help them up. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I deal with a lot of hard cases in my business. You know what I mean? And they always say, you know, who can best help another addict but another addict? And you know, when you're sitting there, and you know, in those times when I feel like poor me, you know, and when is it my time? When I have a 17-year-old juvenile sitting in front of me with tattoos all over his face, whose mother is a prostitute, drug addicted individual, and the father is a drug dealer, and trying to, you know, convince this kid, you know, by my experiences that, you know, life is worth living.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're the things, you know, and 14 and a half years later, I'm still striving to be okay with being okay with wherever I'm at any given moment,
mm-hmm.
You know, and to not believe those lies in my head that I still have after 14 and a half years. I always say, you know, that, you know, you don't live up, you don't think of the expectations of everything being okay. You know, life on life terms continues. Right. You know, I'm never going to be cured. You know, what I do with the steps and with what I do and with the people that are in my life is I learned to deal with those issues, and they don't stay with me as long as they used to.
That's right.
You know, I can wake up any given morning full of fear. You know, and in reality, nothing's changed since yesterday but my way of thinking. But through the program and individuals in my life, to put one shoe on after the other and get out and face my responsibilities in life. My experience has shown me that 9 out of those 10 things that wanted to isolate me from society only existed in my mind and didn't exist in reality.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think that I was the cause of everyone's issues. I would see someone in a meeting and they would give me a hug 3 weeks in a row. The fourth week, you'd walk right by me. And I thought that I was the center of that individual's world, that I did something wrong to him. See if you can follow this one. In a meeting, I used to think that I had the power to make you think what I thought you were thinking about me. I'm just not that powerful.
Wow, that's humility there, Coop.
I mean, yeah, big
there's
time.
Your answer, bro.
Yeah.
You know, for real. I mean, to make an admission like that. What do you think, Johnny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, this is what we do in this forum to get this out there.
Right.
You know, so any of our listeners, if they had any doubts, could hear it and say, well, maybe I could do that.
That's right.
You know, and it's, and then they find their way somewhere, wherever they're going to go. And they get better. And there's the hope. I read an article today in the paper. One of my coworkers showed it to me. It was about heroin in Bucks County. 47%. That's how it had a little pie thing, you know, how they had them things. And it had 47% of people use heroin. 3%.
Yeah, now society's starting to think that heroin is an epidemic.
Yeah, now.
Well, it was an epidemic when I was introduced to it, that's for sure.
Well, the thing to raise awareness, because families of addicts don't know one way or another about the disease. You know, and it just happened with one of our girls a couple of weeks ago. I mean, she...
Yeah, I know you wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, she was there for 7 months, clean, sponsor, home group, all that, and she was starting to work with us. And she overdosed twice. Not once, twice. 2 days in a row. And the second time was it. 26 years old. We dedicated the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did. And it doesn't have to be that way. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, doing drugs and alcohol, it's not a phase. I mean, it's a condition that we condition ourselves to do, to live. It becomes our lifeline.
Yeah, and many people think about alcohol. Oh, he's just drinking.
Right.
But that's you know, just as much.
It's just the beginning. I mean, it's...
Well, it's legal.
Well, it's legal. It's socially acceptable. And, you know, that was a concern of ours during the show that, you know, people thought that, you know, if you're clean, maybe we should celebrate over the holidays. I mean, how many times do you hear those stories?
Mm. Every day was a holiday when I was using.
Yeah, it was right. I mean, Christmas and New Year's.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't need Christmas.
I just had to re-up before the holidays.
Right. I had to cop before the holiday to make sure I had it on.
Because there was no one around. No one around.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They were spending my money. I gave them all year to go away or whatever.
Yep.
You know, in society, you know, it's funny because I do a lot of interventions and I have to deal with a lot of families. And, you know, the hardest thing to do is to deal with the families. And I have to recommend that the families go to Al-Anon or Narcanon because I don't want to give my advice or my opinion on, you know, what you should do with your child. You know, when a parent comes to you and cries for help. I mean, how do you tell them to give them tough love? How do you tell them, you know, don't let them back in the house or let them find their bottom? I mean, it's so hard because I don't want to say that because what, God forbid, that they throw a kid out and the kid goes out and overdoses and dies.
Oh.
You know, that's why I need to direct people. And again, humility comes in where I don't have all the answers and I don't ever want to feel that I have all the answers. You know, I only share on what my experiences are. And humility for me is being able to direct them to someone who've experienced what they're experiencing and gotten to the other side. You know, my opinion kills people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it is. Know. There's plenty of resources, right, John? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, and being on both sides of it, you know, having been on one side and then the other of it, you know, you try to get, like at City of Angels, they do family groups and all that. So that's why it's so important to tap into this resource here because they're incredible. Kevin and his crew are just absolutely incredible with what they do with people. So right now we reached the top of the hour.
Oh, that was quick.
And I'm going to tell you that to listen in is www.coaradio.com. And the number to call in, and hopefully our movie star guest over here doesn't get any more secret admirers, is 609-241-7103.
Well put. So where are you at today, Harry? I mean, you know, you've come from the depths of darkness like we all have, and there's a lot of hope there, it sounds like. I mean, you were willing to come on the show and, you know, share some of that hope.
The only
thing
I have a lot of anxiety about is my housing. Hopefully, I have a new case manager, and he seems to be more recovery-oriented. So,
Harry, let me cut you off air. We want you to stay with Coop.
Faith, Harry, faith. Fear is lack of faith. Did I hear that somewhere before?
I heard it once or twice.
No, I hear you. I mean, it's something, you know, everybody wants to do something different.
Ruffle feathers or anything. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. You know, like Coop who told me straight up, as long as he's there, I can.
Harry. I mean, when I talk about where you're at today, I mean, not only your physical, you know, where you live, but I mean, how you feel as a person. I mean, you're happy. I mean, you're glad to be alive where you're at. And
don't lie now, Harry.
For the last few days, I have been happy. I actually spoke about it in a meeting.
Good.
A couple of weeks ago, I think it started that day. I was in a meeting and a kid was sharing that how his two-year-old was dying of leukemia and cancer. And I was like, and how he still has a little bit of faith in God, even though the doctors have told him that there's no chance that she's going to die. Hmm. But instead of talking about that, he talked about a little bit of faith that his God is going to save this kid. And I was sitting there thinking, wondering if I would be able to live through that. You know, I love kids, even though I wasn't there for mine. That's one of my biggest regrets, you know. And one of my daughters used for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't feel comfortable hugging my own granddaughter. And I'm sad about that. And I really don't feel comfortable hugging another person in recovery. But I'm getting better with it, you know.
Right, and, right.
You know, there's some people I care for way more than others. And, of course, there's some I don't care for at all. But they tell me everybody don't get along with everybody. And I'm starting to accept that. You know, my head is so, you know, the life I live, my head is not so-called normal, like a normal person. And it's probably going to take a lot of time for me to start thinking like a normal person does. Like, I admire you, Kenny, because I got more clean time than you, but when you speak, I listen, you know, and, you know, the way we had met,
right.
You know, you trusted me and didn't even know me, and I don't know why.
My man had my back.
I don't know why that was, but, you know.
I know what you mean. I mean, some really, you know, miraculous things happened. I mean, yeah. From rolling up your sleeves to taking a shot, a trust,
right.
faith we're talking about, you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe this will help me. You know, and let's face it, I mean, when I was in the same place as you were at, and all I was looking for was to go to a couple meetings with a couple people every day. That was my goal.
You found one, me.
And I found you. And we, you know, we asked a lot of people. We always invited people to go. Some went, some didn't. But the bottom line is that we, you know, I guess the importance of, you know, getting clean, buddy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when you go into a recovery house,
absolutely.
You know, hooking up, and, you know, that's another part of the show, how structure, we need structure. You know, I know that I always wanted to get clean and go home to the wife, and my life would be destroyed. You know, within
be
a year.
Careful what you wish for. When right. you get it, can you really handle it?
Yeah, and a lot of times what you were talking about is what happens. Like, guys go to a recovery house, they stay clean, and they move out, get their own apartment, you know, take what they got in the recovery house, the structure part of it, and learn how to live. Part of learning how to live is doing the basics. I mean, some kids that come in to the recovery house never made a bed.
Right.
Never saw a checkbook. You know, and these are the little things that you start doing them things, and it's amazing how you start to get some self-esteem back through that. And then you're working. You're working the steps. You have a sponsor. You're going to meetings. You're meeting people. Mm-hmm. Your life has a bigger meaning than it did when you got there. Because, you know, I've seen guys come in, tombstones in their eyes, empty, shallow. Oh, and we got a call. How about that? Yeah. COA, you're on the air. Hello? Thanks for calling.
Well, anyway, I
guess they changed their mind.
Yeah, that's cool, you know. But I was thinking, like, structure, Coop. I mean, do you have a few things you want to add about that? Or I guess the importance of it, because I think people, I hear a lot, I don't need this, I don't need this.
Well, I mean, everything, you know, Harry said earlier, piggyback on what Johnny was saying, is, you know, everything's not for everybody. And those who come in there and absorb it and...
Another call.
Probably for you, Harry.
See you away. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we hear you. What's going on?
This is John Cooper's son.
Oh, my son. What's up, bud?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Not much.
Just wanted to say what?
I just wanted to say that I have the greatest dad, and he's helped me with everything I've ever asked for. And, it's the greatest dad. I'm listening to the radio so I can hear it live.
Oh, good. Nice. Good.
How are we doing tonight?
Good. I just got home from the gym. My dad sent me down the radio station. I've been listening to it ever since.
Nice.
Good. Nice. Good, man. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I love you, man.
Love you.
Well, I want to thank you for listening and calling in. That's awesome. That's what makes us really feel good about what we're doing, especially, you know, your dad. The guests that we have are special to us.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a really neat thing we got going on here. So I want to thank you.
Cool. I've been listening to it for the last half hour.
Nice.
How do I sound?
Find my secret in mind.
You could be honest. How's he sound?
That's pretty good.
Good. Nice. Beautiful. That's good stuff.
That is good.
Yeah, I love you, man.
All right, love you.
I love you.
Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, that was a nice call.
That was a nice call.
It was a nice call.
Yeah,
we're all on the same page.
It's funny, makes me want to cry.
Yeah, I figured we'd see you getting emotional.
You know,
that's
one
good
thing
stuff.
You know that I got to say is, like, you know, kids are resilient. You know, like, I'm...
It's okay, bro.
You know, Harry, you said that, you know, the only thing that cures all of it and brings everything back around full circle is, number one, staying clean and allowing the miracle to happen, for God to put those individuals back into your life and to be able to show up. Because I always say, you know, to people that I work with on a daily basis, is like, all them kids want is you.
Yeah.
You know? They don't want nothing else. They just want you to be okay.
Hmm.
You know, my son, you know, and my daughter, you know, are just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Somebody else say something.
Yeah, you know, the only thing with my child when she was young, she related me with money. I made a score. And I brought money, you know. Other than that, you know, I didn't work my whole life. You know, guys say, "Oh, can you do a resume?" Yeah, I worked in the kitchen at Greater Fruit for 22 years.
Still can't cook.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing there all that time.
I don't know. That secret admirers that said he was a good cook.
Did she?
But. You know, my daughter, who I love very much, but she's really hardcore. We haven't been talking for a while. And, you know, it bothers me, but, you know, I have to leave that alone for myself. Because, like Coop just said, if I pick up, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm, that's right. That's right. It's pretty much.
Well, I'll tell you what, my daughter, you know, you asked me to say something about kids, and... I have a daughter, she just turned 31, and I said, well, Melissa, what do you want for your birthday? And she says to me, all I want is your time, Dad.
Mm.
Let's have dinner. I said, where can I meet you? And that's what the conversation was about.
Well, I can't wait till my daughter gets to that point.
Well, I mean, I don't know how old she is.
Nah, she's a great kid.
Yeah,
You know, they're not wanting for nothing. And I'm just so blessed to be able, and the way I look at it is to provide opportunities and let them find their own niche and let them run with it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Getting back to the recovery house, John. With you know people, it's funny because I work in a rehab where you know guys come in from all different aspects of life, and it's hard to get some to take a shower, you know, as to being able to make their bed. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying, you know, that relates to me is that you know setting up small realistic goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And trying to achieve some positive aspects in your life. And what happens is, you know, your driver's license, your GED, getting that job, you know, reuniting with that child. You know, what happens when we start to experience positive things in our lives, it starts, you know, and it doesn't completely alleviate it, but it starts to lessen the negative thoughts to where that self-esteem starts to build. And we gain a confidence in ourselves that we can do it. You know, and, you know, for me, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's possible for anyone. And I'm not one to say if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I know how hard it is. And the fact of the matter that this is not easy, but it's a fight worth fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always say that, you know, when my perception of what was important to me in life changed is when I changed. You know, no longer did I have those self-centered, you know, the core of our disease is self-centeredness. You know what I mean? When I started to live for other people and to be able to put my hand out to other people and help someone else up. And it didn't always work. You know, people didn't always take it for what it was. You know, you're used, you're manipulated. I mean, you know, I was in the business, you know, for a while with the recovery house where I thought I could save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the funniest thing I ever heard in in-house meeting was an individual stating that, you know, I got away with using for like 3 weeks here. And I'm like, you got away with using?
Right. How did
you know,
that happen?
You basically wound up dealing with the consequences of using, which is rehab, you know, which is jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so are you really, who are you getting over on?
Yeah, right. Another burnt bridge.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You know, my experience with individuals around here, man, that I've known people who, you know, everyone's process is their process, and I always need to be there when they come back. You know, but my fear is that, you know, when's that last time?
No one knows.
You know, no one knows. You know, I've had individuals that I had to say things to them that I didn't want to say to them. And people would look at me and say, well, why are you talking to me like that? I said, because nothing else worked. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
I don't get close to too many people, but last week a guy I did get close to who came into the facility I'm still at two times. He's a really nice guy. And last week I seen him on the bus again, and he didn't even have the money to get on the bus. And I didn't know whether to hide, because I didn't want him to see me, but at the same time, I wanted him to see me. And he came and sat next to me, and he lasted about a minute there. I guess he just got too embarrassed and got up and moved. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to call him back, because he's such a nice guy, very religious. But, I've come to find out that religion is not going to save you. You have to do other things. You have to be with other addicts. And talk. I mean, that's the only place you can go into. And like, there's a common goal. And like, your story may be different than others. Like, I'm up in the Northeast. I mean, there's not many people like me in the meetings with me. It's just the truth, you know. And I think, and I say it all the time about my life, because I don't have another life to talk about yet. You know, like I said, I'm coming up on 20 months. Mm-hmm. That's a short time, like, compared to 51 years. You know, and my life was, listen,
Harry, don't make me sponsor you. Compare yourself to yourself.
No, but, you know,
but it's like, 20 months is a miracle.
It's progress, Harry.
There's a lot of kids in the rooms, and I probably spent more time in the hole than a lot of them even use drugs.
So what are you going to do, prevent? To have that prevent you from living?
No.
To always look at the differences instead of the similarities? No. Come on, Harry, step one.
No, that's not what I'm doing. I care about others. Like you had said earlier about finding something in your life, I really love kids. But I know because of my criminal record that, you know, I've already been told that the job I was trying to get through college, because of that, I can't obtain. You know, so, you know, I just worry about that all the time. Like, I say, did I wait too long? Like, there's guys in the rooms older than me, but they didn't use as long as me. They've been clean 30, 40 years, 25 years, whatever. I'm as old as them, but, you know, they were clean and I was still using, you know, and I don't know if that has messed my mind up so bad. Like, I heard a guy one night in a meeting at, where we go on Wednesdays, say that if he went outside after the meeting and found $10,000 in the parking lot, that he would come in and say, who dropped this? Well, I put my hand up and said, if anybody finds $10,000 in the parking lot, it belongs to me. There's a lot of stupidity and honesty. I mean, who And I, you know, and I don't want to be like that. I actually would like to turn that 10,000 in.
I think you will one day, Harry.
Yeah, I'm not today.
Well, it's a judge for today, and like Coop said, 20 months is 20 months more than you have
right.
Still using.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, and that, and that's what it says in some of our literature. It doesn't matter what or how much you use. So it doesn't matter what. The magic is in the fellowships is empathy. That's why church, I tried it, and I'm not knocking it, but it didn't work for me because there's no empathy. Nobody empathizes. They want to, you know, you can't hang out with somebody and fellowship and talk about how your life's changing through the step process
right.
Rather than something else. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we're all here giving somebody hope. You know, you're saying you got 20 months. There's a guy on the corner now who doesn't have 20 minutes and would love to trade places with all of us.
I think I found a solution. Do they do background checks on party clowns?
Or Santa Clauses or Easter bunnies or something?
Well, you know, that's something that everybody needs to hear because, I mean, I know when I didn't, you know, walk through those doors beaming with happiness and, you know, I mean, I was broken, man, for real, for real. And just to let this miracle happen, I mean, people need to hear that. You know, when you think you can do, you know, one more, and all the messages we get weekly about people dying, one has to think, like, it's all about the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm so grateful to be here because I thought I was the guy that shouldn't be here. And here I am.
Happy. One's too many, a thousand's never enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I never did one enough.
Yeah. You know, and that's the important thing going to, you know, the recovery structure house, you know, hook up with some people, go to some meetings, make some friends, tell people how you feel. You know, watch a TV show or a ball game together. I mean, that's pretty good stuff. I mean, for real, for real. Beats hanging on the corner, you know what I mean? Yeah, thinking that we'll be okay, you know?
People in recovery. I never did that stuff. Smoking pot or... I can do that.
My man.
You mean you never spoke in front of a group of people unless they were duct taped?
Yeah, he likes that part of it. Guess what time in the show we're at right
what
now?
What time is that, John?
What are you
9:20?
Yeah. What is it? Where am I?
Well, you know, we have like a word of the week.
He knows it. We're working off each other excellently tonight.
I don't know. this word came to me, I think through you, actually, Siv.
That's the word.
I got one of these fancy phones. I don't need a dictionary. I can Google words. Well, I think I'm smart.
We're heating up, baby. You know? Come on. What's word? Siv?
Siv, yeah. I mean,
my father used to say you got a head like a sieve, right?
Right.
All so my life. So I never knew what he was talking about. I don't know what a sieve
was.
Well,
I'll tell you, sieve is a utensil, so I guess you're heading utensil.
I'm a utensil.
Yeah, a utensil consisting of a wire or a plastic mesh held in a frame, used for straining.
Straining
solids from liquids.
Right.
Sort of
right.
Like, you know, spaghetti.
We talked about water. The pasta, yeah.
The pasta.
What else did we
talk about? I don't know. We talk about so many things. I lose track.
We had this conversation yesterday when we were talking about our word for the week. Did you know what a sieve was, Danny?
No, not at all.
He didn't know.
Well, it also reduces soft solids to a pulp. Strain and such. But, I mean, what do they mean by that? Your brain is like a sieve. Does that mean that we don't hear or
no, it means
anything?
I had holes
everything
in my brain.
Everything runs right through it.
Right.
He was. Like, I guess he was.
You need to go to a recovery house or you need to go to a meeting. And then I say, well, no, I'm okay. I'll be all right. Yeah, you know, right away that...
In one ear and out the other.
Exactly.
Because it's hollow.
Yes.
All right, Dad, I know what you're talking about now. Thanks.
God rest him, right, Johnny?
Yeah. So...
Yeah, so that was a good word. I mean,
I like that.
It
generated a lot of excitement.
Yeah, well,
like last
it's
week.
Exciting to be able to help people, you know, share some time with some friends. I mean, come on.
Whenever I ask somebody to be on the show, right... They say to me, well, what do? I said, you come in here, you sit down, and it's like we're sitting at my kitchen table.
Having a conversation.
Oh, you know Capone.
Nah, yeah, well, Capone's home waiting for me to walk through the door. Capone is our family pet, in case anybody didn't know that.
You can have pets when you stay clean. I mean, actually.
Yeah, you guys love Capone.
Yeah. Capone's cool.
You like to feed them.
I do, yeah.
Harry comes over to my house and just keeps giving the dog food, more food, and he'll eat as much as you give him.
You mean you let Harry in your house today with only 20 months clean?
Yeah, only
wow.
20 months.
Only 20
I
months
keep
clean?
Right in front of the door. So, so what do you think, Mr. McDonald?
Well, I think it's good, as usual. I mean, I'm happy to be here, and, you know, you guys were just fantastic about, you know, the heartfelt things that you talked about. And we just, you know, our message here is that you can get help if you need it. I mean, make a phone call, you know, go to a detox. I mean, that's what I did, and I didn't really think that I could. I thought I had it. And I went to Kensington Hospital, too, and they told me I couldn't get in. But you know what? I went back. And I went back, and 3 weeks later, the journey continued, which is that sign. The journey begins here.
That's a great sign.
I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, how much the impact, driving through that gate and reading that sign, and I'm like, this is where it begins. Little things like that, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about hope, Harry. Hold on, pain ends.
That's right.
Yeah,
now.
I was sitting next to Johnny, the war is over today.
Where are you?
Yeah.
Good old Johnny. Good man he is.
Yeah.
Okay, my guests. What we do when we wrap the show up, which we got 5 minutes, right, Dan? 7 minutes? Six? Okay, I'll take that. He'll give me.
Do you have any other questions, John?
I do. I want to do the one word sum up thing.
One word, starting with Harry. Yeah. One word sum up of your life.
Think about all your experiences and where you're at today, and give me one word that sums that all up in one word.
Grateful,
my man. Coop.
I took his word.
You have so many words going on.
He's speechless. Can't be speechless on the radio, Coop.
Let's give Coop two words.
Okay. One word. Unbelievable.
My man.
I'm honored.
Honored. Danny, what do you got for us tonight?
Come on, Danny, bring it.
Extraordinary.
My man.
Wow.
Ooh.
Let me look that word up. Maybe I'll save that for next week.
Can you use that in a sentence, please?
Yeah, don't ask me to do that. I wouldn't know. I'm going to say I was driving yesterday, and the sun was partly setting. And I thought, wow. And I think about it, and I well up. And it's just unbelievable how my life is today.
Well, what's the word, John?
I'm getting there, okay? I'm the host, remember? I'm digging deep.
Wow, yeah. Okay. I know, you got that serious look on your face. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this word's going to be something. Is everybody listening?
I hope so.
So do I.
Incredible.
Wow.
That's how my life is today. Incredible. You know, we're blessed with this show to be able to reach out to people. And, you know, and we have a saying that no addict need ever die from the horrors of addiction.
That's right.
That's why we do this. We have fun, but it's serious because too many people are dying.
Yep.
And, you know, the families need to know what's going on with their kids. I have a daughter. She's in recovery. I love her dearly. She's 31 years old, too.
Right.
She's in nursing. She's got a year and a half clean. She's in nursing school. She raises... I had my granddaughter for the weekend. That's where Ken and I were going yesterday. Mm-hmm. Bring her home. And, you know, it's just incredible to be able to have relationships with this kid. And yeah. My granddaughter. I love them both very dearly. Rox will be happy to know is... Soft up as she is, she'll like it that I mentioned her on the air. She's a great kid. We got a great staff here. We had two powerful guests tonight, powerful show tonight.
Yes,
Danny,
sir.
Our perfectly capable engineer, who's been with us from day one. Mr. McDonald here, who
just been
my co-host, and I remember when I ran it by him, the idea. It was funny.
Well, yeah. I just want to say I want to thank you guys for inviting us here.
Oh, thanks for being on the show. Yeah. It was a great, great show. Very powerful. You know,
every time I've been on the radio and it wasn't Car 68, Car 50.
Whatever it takes to get you off of Facebook, Harry.
Yeah. And Harry stayed off of Facebook for 57 minutes so far.
Look, we got a lot of good things planned for this year. I mean, Johnny, we're talking, you know, we need 104 guests, I think.
Yeah.
So this is the first week of the year, and we have two, and we're very serious about being committed to this because that's what recovery has done for us. I mean, we get committed to something, and, you know, I'm all about helping other people. I mean, it's I never know who's listening, who's in my life to help. I mean, I just want to be in position.
Go above and beyond. You know, you guys do, all three of you. You know, I reach out to people. I hope one day that I'm like that.
You are like that, Harry. Recognize
like that
it.
Now.
Love yourself.
Yeah, you're like that now. Come on.
Harry, do you need a hug now, man? Come on. Okay.
So what we do after the show, we take a picture every week. Of the guest and our staff and
put it on Facebook.
Yeah. And it's, you know, pretty soon we're going to be doing Twitter, which is another.
Yes, we're going to have a followings and
we're in the process of doing a little YouTube video to advertise the show.
Yep.
So it's really exciting. We really got some, you know, very good guests coming up. You know, and
ooh,
somebody's calling in the last minute. We got time, Danny?
Yeah, we got
time. Okay. COA, you're on the air.
Damn. No time.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my guest.
Thank you, guys.
And again, www.coaradio.com, Mondays 8:30 to 9:30. You can get in touch and go visit City of Angels online, www.cityofangelsnj.org. And if you have any questions for me, you can reach me at john@stepbystephouses.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
All right.